You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
In a time when targeted ads are commonplace, is it so far-fetched to imagine that our dreams could eventually be filled with ads, too? We've been tricked into ingraining jingles into our heads, whether we want them or not, right? Do-do-do-do-do! And 588-2300-Empire! And there are entire company mascots we know a whole lot about and have formed opinions around, like the Geico Gecko or Jack in the Box. We've seen movie moments where personalized or targeted advertisements come into narrative play, like Minority Report or Blade Runner, and those moments are typically metaphorical or figurative warnings of the world we're allowing to be created around us. I personally hate it when I search for one little thing on Amazon or click on one ad on Facebook and bam, I'm seeing that ad for that crap every time I log in. The algorithms have us. There's no escaping us. And while Strawberry Mansion is a far cry from Minority Report, it does share some pessimistic similarities about what we are forced to experience as a society inundated with targeted advertisements. Take two Michel Gondry films, one part Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and one part Science of Sleep. Give that to a grad school film production duo with stagecraft production design, and you got yourself an art house surrealist science fiction adventure romantic comedy directed and written by Albert Bernie and Ken Tucker Audley, if those are hipster names, if I've ever heard one.
I know, that guy's name, every time it popped up, I'm not really quite making fun of it. You know, a name is a name, and his is definitely unique, but every time it popped up, I was just like, really?
Fake! Strawberry Mansion, in a dystopian future where dreams are taxed and invaded by advertisers, government agent James Preble travels to the home of Arabella Isadora, an eccentric aging artist, to audit her dreams as he explores her subconscious stored on a vast library of VHS tapes. He finds himself falling in love. But did we here at the Screener Squad love this movie? I am TC DeWitt, and I am joined by Rose.
Hello.
Robert.
Hello there.
Andrew.
Oh, just call me Ken Tucker.
Ken Tucker. Ken... Drew Tucker.
It's the R at the end that does it.
Yeah.
The Screener Squad is a great podcast on the entertainment review site, oneofus.net. What a great site full of fantastic content. Don't you all agree?
Hear, hear.
Well, yes.
Most of the time.
Just subliminally sneaking an advertisement into the review on the site people have already come to. Ooh. Strawberry Mansion. What do we think?
I liked it. It was, I think I'd say this a lot, but it was my kind of weird. I wasn't quite sure what to think of it. Once I got the hang of kind of what it was going to be about, it grabbed me in a little bit more. At first, I thought it was just going to be one of those arty for art's sake movies, which I can take or leave half the time. The way that it started out, just visually, made me think this was some undiscovered Italian film from 1970 or something like that, because they shot it digitally and then converted it to 16mm film.
It definitely has that look. Yeah,
yeah, it definitely looks like an older movie. I liked it. It was unique. It was a concept that you've kind of seen before, that base level of what if dreams were taxed and ads were everywhere and whatnot. But it had such a wonderful charm to it with some of the props and special effects they had, because they had this wonderful mix of stop motion, CG, masks, both bad and good. Mm-hmm. To me, it felt like, I know this phrase also gets used a lot, but I mean it, something like Adult Swim would make, but straightforward. It had all their usual brand of weirdness and a kind of a lo-fi aesthetic to it, and a bit of like 80s and 70s kind of twinge to it. But yeah, it felt like an Adult Swim movie, just totally straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Well, Drew, you had seen this before screening. You actually got to see it in theaters, correct?
I didn't get to see it in theaters. It was the virtual Fantasia Fest. But yeah, it definitely stood out then, and so it was nice to revisit it now. I remember it being one of my favorite opening title cards probably of the year, with him licking the ice cream cone in slow motion, and then title card just comes up. That's pretty memorable. I think it's a sweet premise, too, of going to this older woman's house to audit her dreams. He starts going and visiting the dream world and falling in love with her younger self. I think that's a really sweet premise. Mm-hmm. It's like a rom-com with a lot of acid thrown in.
Yeah. In the ice cream, right?
Probably, yeah, yeah. You have to lick it. You have to lick it.
I really dug what everybody's talking about, Rose and Drew. Like, once you figured out what it was doing, TC, you mentioned, I think, adventure at the end. Like, we go from one of my favorite lines, do you believe your dreams are your own, where we've got this older lady that's dreaming under the table because of taxes. So we got this fantasy, zany kind of story, straight into, oh, those are some nice dreams you're having. That'd be a shame if
something would happen.
Inserted capitalism into them. So, I, like y'all are saying, I love that it just... it had a lot going on. Then you get to a part where you're on a boat with a bunch of rats, and it's like, man, I wish I could have seen it in theaters.
Yeah.
Well, this does something really interesting that touches on what my favorite kind of sci-fi does, which is holding up a mirror to ourselves in the modern day. Mm-hmm. And while this is super surreal, it is doing something that we all kind of do, which is past all the advertising, past all the facade that we see on Facebook and Instagram and what have you, there's a true story about who someone really is. And you can fall for someone online. You can think you know someone based on their online persona. But when you weed through the stuff that's being forced at us, you can start seeing who the person really is. And that's all metaphorical and visual, figurative and whatnot. But I appreciated that aspect of the sci-fi nature of this, that it is a look at how we come to have shared experiences through truths rather than the fictions we present, I suppose, was mm-hmm. the roundabout way of saying that. However, I will say this is definitely not going to be for everyone.
Oh,
there
no.
is that aesthetic, Rose, you hit it on the head, that 16 millimeter feel to it, the art house feel of it. I mentioned this is a grad school film. Yeah, this is not mainstream. This is going to turn people off almost immediately. As much as Drew likes that title card, that title card is going to have people hitting stop on their playback on this thing.
Yeah, you could be right. Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, if you stick with it, I think it does kind of wash over you a little bit. I like the hypnotic quality of it and this kind of imaginative playground that you get to kind of walk around in. It's a really good way for Kentucker and Albert Burney to show their skills and show their imaginations in like a, you know, a really unique way. So I was really taken with it. And I do like that it looks like it's so old, but it's set in 2035.
Yeah.
Well, the movie grows as well. The production value grows, where we are in a cardboard pink painted room to kick this thing off, but eventually we're on a full pirate ship with these incredible creature masks that are just stunning. We do have the cardboard crappy masks of some of the characters within the dream, but there's a wolf mask that looks amazing.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is next level of rat masks. This movie grows and fills out, and it shows the skill of these filmmakers to take something so cardboard cutout theater stagecraft looking and grow and grow and grow to the point of burning a house down and being out on the ocean on a boat. It's quite impressive in that regard.
Most definitely deliberate. That the things, the special effects in the dream world looked better than the ones, you know, that happen in the real life scenes, like the, yeah, that incredible wolf mask that I kept going back and forth on. Is this an actual like high dollar mask that they paid for, or is this just really good CG that they got the budget for or whatnot? That compared to the Dream Watcher helmet thingy that was so obviously made out of like poster board and had Dixie cups over the eyes, like that made me laugh every time I saw it in a good way. And you could even hear the kind of hollow tsk when he put it on his shoulders. It was delightful.
That's why I compared it to Michel Gondry. When you look at something like Be Kind, Rewind, or I mentioned The Science of Sleep, his style of filmmaking, if you're unfamiliar with it, is very painted cardboard, but there's such an endearing quality in that simplicity that he can then build upon and extrapolate and prove the skill he has as a visual storyteller. So I can see that quality in what these two filmmakers have done here, and
yeah,
it is impressive.
It was a very charming experience. I had fun the whole time.
I like that they were, if not maybe top build is the easiest way to say it. Character in the film could be argued is the what they're doing. Like you said, it starts kind of from this monochrome set. It keeps going and cosmic and monsters. And there's one of those rats gets turned into a chicken. Like, there's a lot going on. And that aspect of it, that's not something you're going to get in something I think that is as grounded, I guess, as this is. Because this could really have just went one way and been the balloon that floats off type stuff. I like that it's dark, and there at the end, it keeps taking you in and out of maybe what's really going on. And I thought that was cool amidst all that real big homage, obviously, to the 70s and 80s visual effects.
Art house is a strange genre, and it won't, as I said, appeal to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But when you find gems like this amidst the pretense, a lot of art house movies are very enjoying the smell of their own farts.
And this oh, yeah.
a sweetness to it, a sweet quality to it that when this started, I was not on board. It took me a little bit to get past the stiff acting.
Same.
And the presentation being, oh, I get it. You made it look like it's a movie from the 70s. There's a little bit of risk of pretension in that. But as the story unfolded, it's like Shakespeare. When you sit down to watch Shakespeare at first, especially if you don't watch a lot of it, it sounds like a foreign language. But little by little, as you absorb it and pay attention, you start speaking the language. And that's what this movie did for me. By halfway, I was all in on this because it was speaking to me and I could understand it. Like, is art house any one of your specific go-to genres?
I have to be in the right mood for them. I can't just automatically pop into watching one of those. Like, I can say, I don't know, an old Audrey Hepburn movie or something like that. But yeah, every once in a while when I'm just in the right mood, it happens to scratch just the right itch, and I usually walk away from it feeling happy and enriched.
I definitely like movies that I immediately feel stoned watching them. You know, that I don't have to do anything. You know, I don't have to worry about the pre-roll or anything like that, and can dive right in. Yeah, so it's case by case for me. This project was fantastic to watch, but yeah, I think it's not something that I seek out.
More, I guess, esoteric stuff I've watched is usually way sadder, I guess. than this. I like A Thin Red Line. A lot of people don't like that movie. What I liked about it for the style of movie it is it's not the kind of thing that's going to make me go look for more movies like this, but it's the, like, obviously painstaking singular vision stuff. So it reminds me of films like The Love Witch.
Oh, yeah.
The Wanting Mare from last year.
Where, oh, yes.
Yeah, I've got an idea for a movie, but it's like, I have an idea for everything that's going to reflect off somebody's retina when this scene takes place. And having seen it last year, I didn't remember exactly where the story was going. I remembered how it ended, but all the changes and all that stuff, it's like I had seen them a bunch of times. It's because all the different aesthetics I had already connected, because like TC says, when it starts, it reminds you of a lot of different stuff, but in a lot of different sections, because this movie does a lot. And so the gymnastics a little bit of trying to keep up with everything that I kept saying zany earlier. I mean, it's not a cop comedy or anything with whistles, but I really like the experience of watching this one again, for sure.
An art house film like this is something I wish more people saw in the position of power, because you get a success of some indie film, they'll pluck someone like a Josh Trank from Chronicle and stick him on Fantastic Four and watch him fail. They'll take a Colin Trevorrow from Safety Not Guaranteed and stick him on Jurassic World and watch him succeed and then fail.
Yeah.
A lot of those indie successes that then allow filmmakers to move into the mainstream, those indie movies are still pretty formulaic. They are successful because they check the right boxes and they prove the mettle of a filmmaker. Something like this, it is a singular vision of two people, however oxymoronic that is. But it shows a very calculated, thought out, planned production and achieving what they were setting out to achieve. These are the sort of filmmakers I want to see get more opportunities in bigger projects while they still are allowed to tell obscure, oddball, not mainstream movies. I hope something like this can catch people's attention. But I don't know if it will, because this isn't going to hit anyone's radar unless you're seeking it out, I think.
Yeah, you're right, TC. It's nice that if Audley and Bernie, we'll call them that, because now it sounds like a real directing, almost animation duo or something.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
The talents of Audley and Bernie, if they could get enough money to make their next film, then that's all that really matters, instead of them going on to direct Loki season 2.
Right. Yeah, don't jump them into that and watch them fall victim of the machine.
Right.
I'd love to see someone like this or a team like this go on to produce stuff that could get a little bit more of attention of the mainstream. Yeah. The odd thing is, as we're sitting here reviewing, is we're talking about the aesthetic. We're not necessarily talking much about the story because the story is pretty straightforward. A guy is investigating this woman's dreams and he falls in love with her. And a lot of what this movie is about the experience of what this guy goes through. So there's only so much we can say in praise or criticism of it because it's pretty straightforward and it is about the experience of viewing it. So without belaboring the points, I'm happy to move into some final thoughts and see if we can't rate this movie and convince a few people to check it out. Robert, why don't you kick us off?
I've got a list of some of my favorite stuff. When the audit starts, he asks her what her occupation is and she says atmosphere creator, and he's like, artist. I just thought that was real fucking hilarious. I thought the dream logic was great. The Star Wars hologram projection, very of the time they were going for. Dan Deacon's score is really good. And the film strip creatures are the creepiest and most adorable thing I've seen recently since the little kid made a teeth in Channel Zero.
Oh, wow.
They're creepy, but I want one, kind of. Oh
my God, yes.
And there's a vinyl crackle over the entire film. So even when the film gets as quiet as it gets, like, they really wanted to imbue this with style, and I loved it. So I'm going to go 9 out of 10 chicken shakes, which definitely are not under 500 calories, like the sign said.
Drew, go ahead.
I like that this movie's high concept, but there's no social commentary, really. I don't think it's just all about consumerism,
yeah.
Something like They Live, right? Like, it's not really tackling advertisements in a really negative way. It's just kind of this invasion, and there is something scary about your dreams kind of being audited and not being your own anymore. It's more of a vehicle just to be creative instead of really making you think, which I like. You just want to experience this film and not walk away really thinking about it too much. So I love that. So I'll give it 7 out of 10 ice cream licks.
Rose.
Yeah, this was a real good time that I had. I haven't seen a movie quite like this in a couple of years. It is exactly what it wants to be. It doesn't aim for anything higher. Yeah, you're right that it doesn't really focus on the social stuff too much, which I liked. It definitely could have, and if it had gone too far into that about, you know, capitalism, man, whoa, what makes you think, right? That would have been a turnoff for me. Not that I'm against that kind of thinking, but in a movie like this, with as much else as they were trying to do, it would have just come across as too much. So I liked that was just kind of in the background and not really what they wanted you to focus on. But yeah, it was just a charming, cozy, nice little time that I had, and I would probably watch it again for sure. But yeah, it is not for everyone. If you know within the first 5-10 minutes you don't think you're going to like it, you're probably right. That said, I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 cute little turtle buddies.
Aw, turtle buddy.
Sugar baby.
Sugar baby. Conceptually, this is a really neat movie. It's the sort of sci-fi I like. There's no aliens or explosions or lasers. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but sci-fi that's more complex and the ideas are being explored by paralleling our own world and time. If you don't like rough around the edges films with a complete lack of Hollywood sheen, go ahead, skip this. You'll be annoyed by the film student vibe. But if you like movies like Dave Made a Maze or the aforementioned Science of Sleep, this is sweet and enjoyable. There's skill in Audley and Bernie's work here, and I wonder if they're the type of filmmakers who would be perfectly content making movies at this level for a very niche audience, or if they might actually thrive with a budget with a couple extra zeros in it. I kind of think they'd probably prefer the art house vibe, though. Regardless, I like this for its simplicity as well as the level of detail in their production design, particularly those absolutely insane creature masks.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing prop work. I only recommend this to those interested in seeing movies in tiny, dusty old theaters in the arts district of your hipster town.
Yep.
Portland, Austin, Upper West Side, New York theaters that serve microbrew wine and require mustaches or vintage dresses to enter. So I'm giving Strawberry Mansion 6 out of 10 Captain Kelly's fried chicken buckets and 2 liters of Red Rocket soda.